Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. I want to talk about the promise that God never made. Hallelujah. Subtitle is Joy, the Proper Response. Philippians 4 and 4, almost any translation you read it from says the same. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. The Amplified Version, Study Version says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in Him. Again I say, rejoice. Turn to your neighbor and say, rejoice. I want to talk about promise. We've been doing it didn't start out to be a series, but we've been talking a lot about promises. Amen? And I want to say that promises are everywhere. Everyone makes them. Some people actually keep them. Amen. No matter where you look, you're going to find some promises. I want to remind you of a few places. One place you'll find a lot of promises is in families. I don't know about you parents, but I've made a lot of promises to my kids. And kids, you make a lot of promises back to us. We promise we won't do this. We promise we will do that. We make a lot. We use a lot of words and make a lot of statements and say, this is what it's going to be. We promise to be good. We promise not to be too strict. We promise not to be gullible. And we try to keep our promise, but I got to say here that many times in families, promises don't get kept. We say things at the moment. We say things to de-escalate the problem or to quiet it down at the moment, but then we just don't follow through on it. Now, I got to speak to the parents for a second and say, you know, I had an old Southern preacher tell me this a long time ago. So whatever you promise your child, you give it to your child. So if you promise your child a piece of candy, you give them a piece of candy. Now, the next thing I say is not politically correct. But she said, if you promise them a whooping, give them a whooping. We need to learn to be people of our word. Parents, we need to model for our children truth. We need to say, if I'm going to say I love you, then we need to show that love. If we're going to say I'm going to take care of you and be there for you, we need to be there for them. Can I get an amen or an oh my? Young people, y'all got the same problem. Now, maybe you learned it from us, but I think it's human nature. You'll promise not to do this and not to do that and not to do the other thing. As soon as you're out of mom and dad's vision, you just do what you want to do. I think husbands, wives, children, daughters, sons, we all need to learn how to keep our promises. Can someone say amen? So we find them in the family. We also find them in business. I'm sure as an employee, you have received plenty of promises from your employer. Sometimes they don't come to pass. Sometimes it's unavoidable. But sometimes it's just plain words. But you know, on the other side, many times as workers, we have promised things to our bosses and haven't fulfilled that either. Promises are something that are meant to be kept. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. We have in friendships and in partnerships, we have promises and relationships, in governments, in political things, and in religion. We have promises. We all make and or receive promises. Now, all I know about the promises I make is that when all things are judged, I pray I've kept more than I've broken. And I really do pray that the ones I've broken didn't cause anyone any harm or hurt. Hallelujah. One of the places in this world we find promises, of all the places, you probably won't find any more than find right here in God's Word. You know, when we begin to look through this old black book, we find all kinds of promises. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I've never counted them all. If you have nothing to do between now and next Sunday, feel free to count them. Bring me back the number. I'll believe you because I am not going to check you on it. Okay? If you want to come back and tell me how many, I'm sure there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of promises within this book. Amen? Hallelujah. They're all right here in reading for all the world, not just the church. All the world has this book. I was listening to the radio the other day that they're getting really, really close, like within the next 20 years of having the Bible translated in every single language on the face of the earth. You know, God has allowed some smart people to develop things called computers. And now they're able to feed this into the computer, and the computer will translate it. So maybe even within my lifetime, this Bible will be translated into every single language. Amen? So everyone across the world, no matter what your religious beliefs are, can read this and choose if you're going to believe it. My only concern when I talk about believing here, and we have to have some caution, we got to be careful what we believe. Now, I know I'm going to step on some toes here when I say this. Every time I come into this approach this subject, people get upset with me, but that's okay. That's okay. What do we believe when we read the Bible? Do we believe all the promises? Do we believe some of the promises? Or do we believe none of the promises? Which promises are we supposed to believe? Now, that may not seem like an appropriate question, but if you bear with me and listen to what I'm about to say, I think it might make some sense to you. Can someone say amen? Many people today, God's people, are just plain infatuated with promises. And you know what? We should be. If God has said it, we need to be excited about it. If God has said it, we need to believe it. We need to hang on to it. No matter what happens around us, we need to be able to believe the promises that God has made. My only question is, has he made all those promises to you individually? Hallelujah. Can we automatically claim any old thing we want to and start believing it? God has made a whole plethora, I don't know if I said that word right, I've heard it several times, I don't use the word very often, a whole bunch of promises. And then he gave us a thing called faith so we could believe them. This is a God thing from day one all the way through. God said, I'm going to make the promise and I'm going to give you the faith in order to believe it. When things are difficult, someone say difficult. When things are difficult, faith in God's promises brings us hope and makes our cross easier to bear. How many realize that life sometimes just is not fun? I'm serious now. You know, I'm going to get into this, the difference between joy and happiness. We all want to be happy. Sometimes life does not make you happy. Hallelujah. There are times when things are rough. There are times when the finances are poor, or the health is poor, or there's problems within the family. Amen? That's the cross you're bearing at that moment. But it's during those times, and by the way, that happens to everybody. I want you to just turn around and look around the church. I said everybody, from time to time, has got to deal with these things. So, you know, sometimes we get that poor me thing going on. Well, it's only me. It's not only you. Take my word for it. The Apostle Paul said, the things that have come upon you are common amongst the brethren. Someone read me that scripture when I first got saved, and I've been hanging on to it for 30 years. Because every once in a while, I get so down on myself, I'm the only one that feels this way. And I remember that scripture, and I pop up and say, no, I ain't. I'm not the only one. There are sometimes Dave Tyler feels the same way. There are times that people next to you feel the same way you're feeling right now. You're not alone in this thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know what? I'm not alone. You need to confess certain things with you. You need to say certain things. It's not just hearing what I say. Sometimes our circumstances seem to be hopeless. Sometimes they are. And when they're hopeless, faith in God's promises brings hope back into our miserable lives. See, I know people in church don't like to go, my life's not miserable. Well, then quit acting it. Your life may not be miserable, but you sure are at times. Because we're reflecting what's going on inside of us. Now, I know there's that thing, oh, I can't admit that. Why not? It's the truth. Sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes, not most of the time. But sometimes, life is unbearable. Sometimes it's miserable. Can someone say amen? Glory unto God. When the doctor says you're sick or dying, we can stand by faith and become healthy and healed. Because God has promised. Hallelujah. When the banking world says no way, God's promise says way. And I tell you, if you... Y'all, if you're living in this world at all, you know there's some stuff going on in the banking world. We got everyone wanting to bail out these. I think maybe I ought to send my personal request into the government and get my bailout. Hallelujah to God. I think they just might come up with a no way. What do you think, Brother Jim? When you feel like everyone has abandoned you, I don't want to raise our hands here, but I got to tell you, this is more common than you may think. The feeling of abandonment. The abandonment that no one really cares. No one understands. No one can empathize with me. No one really knows what's going on. That's a very common thing. But when we feel abandoned or have been abandoned, when we're in that place, we can have faith in God who says, there's one who sticks closer to you than a brother. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. We can believe in those promises. When our friends walk away, when everyone seems to give up on us, we can know that God is still there. Hallelujah to God. Now, this may not help you right at this moment, but I sure hope that during the week, when all your feelings show up to try to drag you down, you can remember some of this. You can remember the promises of God that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I got to remind myself from time to time what the Word of God actually says. I got to quote it back to myself. People say, I'm going to quote the scripture to the devil. He already knows them. I got to remember them, though. I got to tell myself God still loves me. God really cares about me. He said he'd never give up on me. He said he's the great physician. He says he is my supplier. I don't have to worry about what Fox News or CNN says. God is my supplier. He's still my doctor. He's still my friend. He's still my lover. He's still everything I need. Hallelujah. We need to remind ourselves from time to time. God's role has not changed. Hallelujah. But here's my question for us. It says, what happens when you believe, but the thing you believe for doesn't happen? What then? What then? I want to give you a key to success in believing God. You got to be sure you're believing the right thing. Now, you would think this is obvious, but you know, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we don't get it. We just think we can grab any old promise and start believing on it. I think we need to ask that obvious question I asked earlier. Are all the promises you read for you? Is every promise in this book? I've heard people say, oh, yeah, I can just pick out anyone I want and start believing. Well, I guess I got to be Mr. Dr. Phil for a second here and say, how's that working for you? Hallelujah. Or are the promises of God specific and individual? Now, I know there's a lot of people who are quick to say that all the promises are for everybody, but I'm not so sure of that. Now, you don't have to agree with me. You know, whether we agree or not on this point has nothing to do with whether we're going to heaven or hell. It might have something to do with how we spend our life before we go there. Amen. But if we're trying to believe something that God never told us, if we're trying to believe a promise that was never given to us individually, I just think we're wasting an awful lot of time, an awful lot of energy, and getting ourselves frustrated trying to believe in something that's not going to come to pass. If God gives Jeff a promise, what gives me the right to try to take that same promise for me? If God told me and Jeff, well, that's a whole different story. There are some promises I believe are universal, but some of them are specific. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it possible? Just a question. Is it possible that the promise you're claiming and believing isn't really yours, but someone else's? Hallelujah. I want to give you a quick example out of Scripture, if that's all right. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were set free from the prison, the guard asked them a question. What must we do to be saved? And in verse 31, it's up on the board here. Paul answers, said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I have had many, many people in the last 30 years try to convince me that that is for everybody. That if one person gets saved in your household, that means your whole household is ready for heaven. Hallelujah. If you read past that verse into the rest of the story, it says that Paul went to that man's house. Paul preached to everyone in the house, and everyone in the house made an individual choice. Therefore, this word on this board up here behind me is a word of knowledge from God that says this is what's going to happen. It does not say it's automatic. I know so many people. I know preachers, friends of mine who sit up and preach that stuff. Just believe and your whole house will be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Each person had their own confession of faith. Now, some would argue it's a promise for all believers, but the balance of the Bible does not substantiate that belief. So here's the thing. Is it Bible? Is it Bible that all you have to do is have one person in your household saved? Hallelujah. Or does everyone have to make their own personal commitment to Jesus Christ? See, that to me is an obvious, glaring thing. But I have so many people want to grab a hold of individual promises made to people and say, that must be mine. Hallelujah. Everyone has got to believe for themselves. So if you're believing the jailer's promise and think it's your own, you would be wrong. Okay? Your whole family needs to receive Christ as individuals. Glory to God. Turn and tell your neighbor, you got to get saved all by yourself.
Hallelujah.
Glory unto God. Parents, please listen to me. If you're saved, the protection of God is upon your family. But your children are not saved. Your children need to be led, and it's your job to do it, not mine, by the way. It is your job to lead your children at the earliest possible age. I'm practically quoting from the dedication. At the earliest possible age to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Each individual. Now, until that time, now I don't know where the age of accountability is, whoever thought of that. But I do know that when they're younger, they are under your protection. They're under the protection that God has afforded you as a Christian. But someday, they're going to have to believe on their own. Can someone say amen? Believing someone else's promise won't help your family. Believing someone else's promise won't help your health. Won't help your finances. You all got to get your own promise. Believing the wrong promise can be devastating. Believing the wrong thing can be very, very destructive. Here's why. If you believe in the wrong thing, when it doesn't come to pass, you could become disappointed, which can lead to anger, which might lead to disillusionment, which could lead you to lose your faith or to give up your faith, which leads to blaming God and leads you to abandon your faith. You say, how can you get from there to there? It's quite simple, actually. It's quite simple. You're believing God for something he never promised. You become aggravated with God. Why isn't he coming through? How long does it take before you become disillusioned and anger? How long does it take before you start blaming God? And God said, I never told you that. Hallelujah. I've learned something about negotiating. Tom said before, we work in the school system. I tell young people, they love to negotiate. Parents, if you don't have a good memory, you write down every negotiation you have with your children, okay? They always come back, but you said, hallelujah. I wonder how many times we do that with God. But God, you said, and God said, no, I never said a word. Had an associate, a friend. He was a prisoner in a certain jail in a certain state. And he really loved the Lord with his whole heart. But he got involved in this name it, claim it thing. And he decided that what he was going to name and claim. Now, God never promised him this. But he got in his mind that when he got out of jail, he's going to go get his woman. And they were going to get married and they were going to raise their family. And that's a good dream. But he considered a promise. Problem was, while he was in jail, his wife was out, or his girlfriend, I should say, was out living a life. And when he finally found her, he got out of prison, he went and found her. She was down to about 80 pounds. She had railroad tracks up and down her arm. If you don't know what that is, well, it's from drugs. Her life was completely destroyed, and he tried to love her, and she called him everything she could think of. Threw him out of the house, and he said, George, I went down, he was down in New York City. So I stood down in the subway, not knowing what to do, whether get on a train or throw myself under one. Said, I got mad at God. Said, it was just me in the middle of the night. I looked down that dark hole in the ground. I screamed out to God, and a voice came back to me. Said, I never promised you this at all. This is all your idea. Well, since then, he got a hold of God again. He's now married, working with David Wilkinson Ministries and doing a wonderful job. But see, all that time believing the wrong thing. Hallelujah. Now, thank God he got it turned around and got turned back around to God. But what happened if he didn't? What happened if he got angry at God and disillusioned with God? How many people walk away from God just because they didn't get their own way? Now, I don't mean that in a spoiled brat sense, but because we chose to believe something that God never said we were going to have. Hallelujah. All those things can happen because we tried to leave a promise that God never made, leastways not to you. Well, the promise that God made to Becky may not be the same promise he's made to me. Some of them we share. Christians share certain promises. To all those who call them to me, I will no ways cast out. That's a universal promise to everybody, okay? But when it comes to family things and financial things and futures and callings and anointings, it's not necessarily the same thing. We're not all called to be the same. Sorry, folks, we're not. Hallelujah. I once knew a woman. Loved the Lord. She ended up having some trouble in her marriage and ended up with a divorce. And this woman decided that she was going to believe God to restore her marriage. Now, that's a noble thing. Along the line, she met someone or read something about a woman who did the same thing. She stood for her marriage, and the husband finally came back to her. And she took that as her promise. Meanwhile, her husband went and remarried, had kids with someone else. It never came back together. Now, I haven't seen this person in a while. I hope she didn't get bitter. I hope she didn't get angry. I hope she didn't get disillusioned. But it didn't do her any good to believe someone else's promise. God promised that other lady that he would restore her marriage. She believed for it, and God brought it to pass. This lady here, God never told her that. I got awful quiet on me here. Hallelujah. You know, just because something worked for someone else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Hallelujah. Or maybe even worse yet, just because you want it to be so. Too many times we fall into the trap of equating joy in God with happiness. I want this is what's called a transitional statement. We're talking about believing the wrong promises. Now we're going to talk about two diametrically opposed things that may not be promises. If we're happy, someone say happy. We all like to be happy, right? Is there anybody here who doesn't like to be happy? Don't raise your hand. No, never mind. If you have that problem, make an appointment. I'll see you on Monday morning. Anyway, we all want to be happy. And when we are happy, then God is good and important. We feel good about it. But if things go wrong, well, that's all God's fault. We're not happy anymore. He's bad. He's mean. He broke his promise. Remember what I said that leads to? Anger, disillusionment. Okay. But what we fail to understand is that joy and happiness are two different things. They can be experienced at the same moment, but they're two separate things. God promised us joy. Can someone say amen? God said you could have joy. Joy to the world is joy unspeakable, full of glory. God wants us to be filled with joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, be filled with joy. Just pray for us. Be filled with joy. But he never promised us continued happiness. Come on, folks. Joy is the result of God's Spirit living in us. Happiness is circumstantial at best. I want you to think about that. Joy comes from knowing you're born again. It comes from knowing that God's on your case and on your side. Happiness comes and goes. Amen. You might get happy if you go to your paycheck and find an extra couple of bucks in there. You'll be real happy until next week when they take a few bucks away because they made a mistake. Don't you like the way the payroll, that they just readjust things for you like that? Oh, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. Really? I thought I got a raise, you know. Happiness is circumstantial. Turn to your neighbor and say, happiness is circumstantial. Use a new word. Use a big word. It's okay. Hallelujah. We need to discover or rediscover the source of real joy. Now, I want to make a statement here, and I think you will resemble what I say. There are many times when I am not happy. My wife just said, amen. But I'm always filled with joy. I have the joy of knowing that God really does have everything in my world under control. You know, I am not happy with what happened on November 4th. I'm not happy with what I see going on Wall Street. I'm not happy with what might be happening in Congress. I'm not happy about that at all. But I have the joy of knowing that no matter what they do, God is still in control. God is still in control of the Congress. God is still in control of the United States of America. That's where I find my joy. I'm not happy about it. Oh, no. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can happen to me that God's not aware of. That brings me great joy. The things that come in my life, God knows about them. I am not alone. Parents, young people, anyone listen to me. When you're going through a hard time, please receive this one truth. You're not alone. Even if your husband doesn't understand, or your wife, if your siblings don't understand, or your parents don't understand, God does. Sometimes you and God are the only ones that get it. But you're not alone. That brings me joy. Am I happy about that? No. Hallelujah. And not only is he aware of it, he's able to fix it in his own due time. There's nothing.
People say, you don't know what's going on in my life.
No, I don't, but I know this. No matter what it is, God's got the fix for it. We might have to wait a bit. Might have to go through some things. But in his own due time, it will happen. Now, all that does not make me happy, but it brings me great joy. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 9. The apostle Peter knew something about joy. These men, when they wrote these scriptures, they were being persecuted. They were being chased around by people who wanted to kill them. You know, there was a time you just couldn't say praise God and get away with it. Almost like today, only worse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is good preaching stuff, by the way. I'm not going to preach on it, but I just want to get it in there as a foundation. To an inheritance, incorruptible. This is what y'all got coming, your inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The best is yet to come, folks. Okay? And he goes on and says, who are kept by the power of God. Who is he talking about here? Can someone tell me who he's talking about? She's probably right, but I can't quite understand what she said. That's not in a tongue that needs an interpretation, okay? That's just hallelujah. The who he's talking about are you, the Christians, the believers, who are kept by the power of God. What's keeping you going? What's keeping you from giving up? What's keeping you moving forward? What's keeping you from cashing out of this life? God, his mercy, his power, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. I just love the way Peter puts it, if need be. I must be one of them need be people for the last 30 years, okay? If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Temptations does not mean there that you want to sin. It means you're being tried. It means there's hard times. It means it's not all going right, okay? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire. I can't help but preach in the midst of this stuff. I see gold commodities going down. I see oil futures going down. But my faith in God is still worth more than all of that. Hallelujah. Though it be tried by fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not yet seen, ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Yeah, it's almost like a tongue. It almost needs an interpretation on that. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. The singing preacher used to say, and the half has never yet been told. Hallelujah. I can't tell you what preacher that is because everyone, anyway. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Hallelujah. This joy I'm talking about, the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That joy, hallelujah, can't even be explained. It's unspeakable. The scripture doesn't mean you can't talk about it. It means there's not enough words in all the languages of the world to explain the joy of the Lord. It makes no sense in the world we live in to walk around with a sense of joy, a sense of knowing that it's going to be all right. I'm not happy about it, but I got joy all through it. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. I have joy knowing that this bridge is going to be fixed over here pretty soon, Brother Dave, but I'm not happy when I'm caught in the traffic jam. If you ever see me drive, you got to look at him. Oh, there's a heathen right there. He can't be saved. My body language gives it away. I am not happy about that traffic. But I can sit in the traffic just basking in the knowledge that someday I'm going to be on a street that's paved with solid gold. I'm not having to worry about the traffic lights. I'm not going to have to worry about the people tearing up the roads. I'm not going to have to worry about the cement trucks because it's going to be streets of pure gold. I got an inward joy knowing hallelujah, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing I have a place to go. All the languages of the world can't express what it feels like to know that God is on your side and you're on His. Hallelujah. Just to know that God keeps His promises. I said before, everyone makes promises and some people keep them. God always keeps His promise. Oh, come on, I got a couple people going, oh, yeah. I said, God always keeps His promises. All of them. Even the ones we might not care for too much. Hallelujah. But that's a different message to be preached at another time. Glory unto God. When you've got that kind of joy that can actually make you speechless, you just can't keep it to yourself. Come on. You can't keep that kind of stuff to yourself. If you're keeping it to yourself, you are about the most miserable person I know, because you're just waiting to explode. You're like the bottle of Coca-Cola. Someone's been shaking you, and you got to get it out of you. Hallelujah. When people walk up to you and want to know why you're so happy, you just go, oh, well, I'm just a nice guy. Liar. Well, maybe you are a nice guy. I'm sorry. But the joy comes because you know that no matter how far down the stock market goes, Jesus will still lift you higher. Hallelujah to God. Oh, praise God anyway. Hallelujah. Everyone around you knows you're joyful. But do they know why? When's the last time we opened our mouth and told someone why? Politically incorrect, right, Sister Becky? Hallelujah. I sat in a reevaluation the other day, and someone, I won't mention who, referred to me as their family savior. I couldn't help but tell him, no, I know him. He's been here, gone again, gone and coming again. And I'm not him. But there's a... No, you all here just said amen. But there's a joy inside of us as believers. There's a joy that no matter what's going on, do I get agitated? Yeah. Do I get aggravated? Yeah. Do I sometimes run my mouth? Oh, yeah, way too much. But underneath all of that, there's still joy. And I can't explain it. I can't explain it, as they say down south, because it's unspeakable, but it's full of glory. Hallelujah to God. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read this real quick here. I want to talk about God keeping His promise and the joy that comes. Hallelujah. I want to read about the kind of joy that comes when God keeps His promises that He made to you. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 6 says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said." Someone say, "as He had said." "And the Lord did for Sarah what He had," what? Someone help me here. What did God do for Sarah? And then He did it. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. You remember we read last week, it said God came to him, or at least the angels came to him, whichever you want to call that, on the plains, and said, within a year, you're going to have your son. And it says Sarah and Abraham laughed at him. That was not joy at that moment. It may have been, but I have a feeling it wasn't. I have a feeling it said, yeah, it's been 23 and a half years, and I'm 99 years old. Yeah, I'm going to have a baby, right? joke. "As He had said, at the very time He promised him, Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." The laughter referred to here is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. 25 years had passed since God appeared to then Abram and said, "I'm going to give you your own son. I'm going to make you the father of many nations." 25 years had passed. That's a long time to wait on a promise. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. And at the end, we have a perfect mixture, combination of joy and happiness. Hallelujah. Sometimes they come at the same time. Sometimes they're separate. God's promises always bring joy. And sometimes they even bring happiness. Glory unto God. But if you can only have one, choose joy. Glory unto God. You got to first know what it is you're waiting on. You got to know if this really is God's promise. Abram apparently had no problem understanding that this was a promise from God. God told him. He didn't get it out of a book. He didn't get it out of a Christian TV. He didn't get it out of a videotape or a cassette that someone gave him. Hallelujah. God told him. Now, God needs to tell you the same thing. When you're reading that Bible and the enlightenment, Brother Charlie talked about enlightenment yesterday, the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit enlightens something to you and that suddenly becomes yours, there are certain scriptures in this Bible, brother, I own them. I own them because they're mine. God has enlightened it. He's illuminated it. That's the word you use, illuminated it. And I know it's mine. Hallelujah. Abram and Sarai waited for 25 years for the promise of God to come to pass. Now, in that 25 years, they had some good times. They had a few bad times. They weren't always happy. Sometimes they were happy. Sometimes they weren't. But in that time of waiting, God changed them. I'm going to preach that whole thing, but I just want you to understand that Abram was no longer Abram. Now he was Abraham. I told you last week that the H sound in Hebrew does not exist. It's a breathing sound. So instead of being Abram, there was no such person as Abraham in the Bible. It's Abraham. God breathed upon Abram, and he became the father of many nations. Sarai became Sarah. And as the old rabbi said, when you get the eye out of the way, you can receive the blessings of God. So once God anointed Abram and took the eye out of Sarai, then they were ready to be blessed. Hallelujah. When God finished making them ready, then he fulfilled his promise. And that brought great joy. Amen. We're going to celebrate. I just shut myself off somehow here. Anyway, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving here in the USA sometime this week, a couple more days. But I want to ask you what you're thankful for. I think my battery just went dead. I want to know what you're thankful for. For me, I'm thankful for Jesus. Amen? Jesus' mission, this is the next question on your questionnaire there. Jesus' mission was a serious one. But I'm not sure he was always happy about it. I can read where Jesus wept. I can read where he was angry in the temple. I can read some things that shows me that Jesus might not have been happy all the time. Can someone say amen? Or oh my? Okay, whatever. Glory unto God. But all through his life, he had joy. He had the joy of knowing he was speaking with the Father. He had joy of knowing he was right with God. He never doubted God's words and never doubted God's gifting. After all, he was the Son of God. He would know best. Amen? He shared his joy and the reason for his joy with everyone. And this is where I want to go. He shared his reason for joy with everyone. Hallelujah. You just couldn't ask Jesus why he was filled with joy without him telling you. How about us? Do we share our joy and the reason for it with people? Do we model and set an example of our joy for all the world to see? Next question on your questionnaire says, how many people in your life know of the joy of serving Jesus? You know, a lot of times folks try to make it all of heaven and hell, and I understand all the theological implications of that. But most people who are lost pretty much know they're lost. But do they know that they can have joy? Now, here's something I got to say at the end here. Too many times we as Christians, especially younger Christians, I'm not talking about youth, I'm talking about people who haven't been saved very long, we seem to think that if we're not happy, something must be wrong. God never promised you'd be happy. He promised you a joy that's unspeakable. Hallelujah. If you're waiting to be happy every day to say that you're serving God, you probably have a very long wait. Happy and joy are not the same word. Happy is an emotion. Joy is a state of being. It comes from the knowledge of God, right within us. Hallelujah. Do the people around you know there's a difference between joy and happiness? Do you? Do your children? Hallelujah. This week, I'm going to ask you to try to recall some of the gifts that God has given you. I'm not talking about ministry gifts. I'm talking about gifts of sanity, gifts of family, gifts of... Hallelujah. What promises has God kept to you? I'm telling you, Thanksgiving is just a few days away. Come Thursday, we here in the United States are going to celebrate Thanksgiving. I really want this church to think in the next few days, what has God done? What promises has he kept? Hallelujah. Everything's dying on me, Dave. Well, it's too late to change the battery now. Maybe the things that God's given you are answers to your prayers. Maybe they're things you didn't even think to ask him for. Amen? See, God loves to keep his promises, and God loves to give gifts. So here's our predicament as we close. Are we so concerned with being happy that we've missed the blessings of the joy of the Lord? God never promised happiness. He only promises joy. So, as the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I rejoice. Let's stand to our feet. As we leave, I have one simple thing to say, and then we're going to pray. Don't settle for happy when you can have joy. Others, we leave this.